Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
And if you are planning for success in 2019, you got to get busy.
Yes.
Half over.
That's right. That's why they having the Black July.
The Black July. Is that interesting?
Yes, sir.
But we know it's not by happenstance, okay? These retailers have done homework, research, gathered data. And, you know, we always talk about where it originated from, right? It was that Thursday or that Friday after Thanksgiving. And now it's like Thursday night. You know, the retailers get started with their Black Friday sales.
Yeah, so then they end up having one in December. Then now you have one 5-6 months later. One in July.
In July. So everything is based on quarters, right?
Yes, sir.
These businesses looking at how their profits come in on a quarter, because normally that's when you kind of report your corporate earnings on a quarterly basis.
Yeah.
So Black Friday turned out, you ask yourself, well, how did they come up with that name?
Yes.
Well, retailers for the most part of the year operate in the red, which means you're operating at a deficit. They make up the majority of their income in that fourth quarter. And that's why they call it Black Friday, because now they move from operating in the red to operating in the black.
Okay, so
which is a positive.
So when you say fourth quarter, what time frame, what months is the fourth quarter in?
Well, if you take January, February, March, April, May, June, July.
That's first two quarters.
Right. Okay. Yeah, first two. So it's every 3 months.
Okay.
Okay. So we know the last 3 months is October, November, December. So that's why that Black Friday came in the fourth quarter. It's because, well, Christmas is normally, traditionally, have been when they really made their money. Okay. But they've added in the Thanksgiving, which really kind of leads up to Christmas. A lot of people do their Christmas shopping that time of the year.
Yes, sir.
So they got a more of an impact by having those two major shopping periods in that fourth quarter. So if you just do a calendar, every 3 months is a quarter, and most corporations report earnings on a quarterly basis.
And then also when you look at, like you said, you got January, February, March, April, May, June. One.
Yep.
Now you're talking about the people that got their tax returns. A lot of people got their tax returns late. So then why not have a Black Friday in July?
In July. Makes a lot of sense. And of course, the leader in this whole effort in July is Amazon.
That's right.
Okay, because they are the new player on the block when it comes to marketing, getting people to buy products.
Affordability.
At a discounted rate.
Yes, sir.
And they're doing it well. They're doing an excellent job of it. Next day delivery, free shipping, wide variety of products and services that they can offer.
You see the vans out a lot of places.
I've seen the vans, man.
With the yellow jackets on.
Yep. Yep. And I had a guy pulled up. They're still doing like the contracts, the contractors.
Independent contractors.
Yeah.
So you don't depend on health insurance or anything.
No.
Just give them an hourly rate.
No.
And liability insurance.
Yeah. That's about it. Okay. And it's an incredible concept. You know, actually ordered a product on Friday, and it was at my house Saturday.
See, that's what I'm talking about, especially being a business owner. When you're like, I need this book, or I need this product immediately. And then it brings leverage to somebody to get them a job as you building what you're building.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was the other thing Amazon did when they asked their employees to take this buyout to go out and become service providers. They're going to give them 10 grand along with their buyout to start their own delivery service.
Yes.
They took a group of their employees.
Kohl's just added one of theirs. And I was telling somebody, I was like, why not? We just don't have a shipping center in the Heights.
Right.
Or acceptance center in the Heights where you can have all your returns, all their Amazon returns. Kohl's has a center at their facility.
Okay.
Like, you know where you would go with for Lelway at or somewhere?
Right.
Kohl's has an Amazon return center, and they give you rebates on Kohl products if you return your stuff back at that. They say if you got something that's it's the wrong book, wrong size from Amazon, you take it there and they'll give you a discounted card from Kohl's.
Awesome, man. That is incredible marketing.
Somebody can have their own business right on Peck Street right now.
Yeah.
And they just make a return center. You could be a cell phone shop and say you were Amazon return center. Ching, yeah. Ching, ching, okay. Ching. I'm trying somebody to get somebody the idea.
Entrepreneurship, ching, ching. Man.
You
want
to connect it with me and I can use your office space. I'll come into your cell phone shop and set up a return center for Amazon. If you want me to, we can do it.
Yeah, yeah. And the other concept they're using is these centrally located distribution systems, okay, warehouses. That's how you get products to people overnight, where you strategically find facilities that have the warehouse space where you can put these products in say a 400 mile radius, because 400 miles, you know, they can get products to you the next day with no problem.
And then we're talking about especially in our region, we're talking about major cities like Grand Rapids. It's not major, it's mid-major. Grand Rapids, Detroit, Lansing, Chicago, Milwaukee.
We're 200 miles from Detroit. We're 200 miles from Chicago. Yeah. So if they got a major distribution center in one of those locations, it's still next day delivery, man.
Yes, it
is. It's 200 miles. That's nothing.
You can get your products right on time. So then, that brings in the equation, like we say, it's another Black Friday with that internet. The internet in a way, like we want things as instant gratification.
Yes.
Of being said, I need it. Or then the tax returns or like, growing up in the hood, I mean, just put it there in an urban setting. And I'm saying, I'll get you. I know Christmas was kind of low for you, but wait till I get my taxes. Her taxes came in April this year. You got Christmas in April. So that's why they taxes the Black Friday. Your mama said that the taxes came. We can get some.
We're going to live it up.
Yeah. When I get my taxes, you're going to get something else. Be like, what? We're like, where you get them shoes from? It's my Christmas present. We're like, how you get your Christmas present in May?
Tax return.
So,
but it's true.
But speaking of Black Friday started in Oklahoma, right?
Well, Black Wall Street.
Yeah, okay.
Black Wall Street. Started Wall in Street. Oklahoma, and there's going to be a celebration next year about Black Wall Street, which hopefully, individuals around the country that have an interest in understanding how that whole concept worked can come to Tulsa, and there's going to be exhibits, presentations, what have you, so we better understand what took place in Oklahoma and hopefully duplicate that back in your hometown or whatever urban area that you're from. And it was, kind of connected to that. I was in Oklahoma City this past weekend.
Oh, so you seen the trade go down between Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. So
Chris Paul.
That's a
It was talk of the town, man.
That's a Black Wall Street and a Black Friday.
Right.
So how did that go? You're an expert on it right now.
One of the talk shows that I was listening to were businessmen in the downtown area of Oklahoma City being concerned that business may drop off now because there's no marquee player in Oklahoma City.
What does that mean? Marquee, like
marquee is the face of the franchise.
Oh, like the LeBron effect.
LeBron effect. Okay, the Kobe effect. These kind of guys they just bring in the crowds, the audience, the fans. Okay, now that he is gone, and he was, he had been there his whole career. Right, so he was the face of the franchise.
Yeah, they almost got me too. I'm like, when you say Black Friday, Black Wall Street, Russell Westbrook plays for the Jordan brand, right? He's sponsored by Michael Jordan.
Okay,
so he has his own brand of shoes called the White Not Zeros. So this is the third year him having them, and they nice, right? So Nike sent me something like, you get an extra 30% off. They almost got me. So I'm online looking at them. I say, oh, they regular price $125. So I go to StockX and I look and I say, well, they $125, yeah. It's 30% off. So I did the calculations and they had a whole bunch of shoes. It was early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, after I did my calculations, they say $60. I was like, wow.
That's 60% off.
Yeah. So I was like, wow. Because I already had a sale. They had another 30%. And I was like, wow. Russell Westbrook leaving Oklahoma had an effect on Nike.
Okay.
He's leaving. So they got to recreate his whole brand
for Houston. OKC.
Yeah.
Yeah. For Houston. So, yeah, man. When those players move like that, when they shift, it's not just that player moving. There's a lot of other things that come into play, such as the concern of these businessmen saying that, are we going to get the same amount of folks that used to come down on game day for dinner or after the game, hang out, because we don't have a marquee player. We don't have a draw now.
And Chris Paul is not that guy.
No.
Just because he is new to the franchise, and we don't know if he's going to remain there anyway.
No, he's not. He's not going to remain there. They owe him because he was in charge of the CBA, the new contract that all the right. guys get. They owe him to put him in a competitive franchise. I think Milwaukee's a good fit for Chris Paul.
Well, I really do.
Small get rid of market. Get rid of Eric Bledsoe. Keep George Hill because Eric Bledsoe can't shoot. Ship them out and a couple other players and give Giannis a true point guard.
Yeah, that would be a good spot
that
for him.
That can lead
if
him
they're willing to pay the contract. I mean, that's the problem right now.
Or the thing is, if OKC has it, here's a scenario. Give him a buyout for like $90 million of that 170. Like, look, we give you $90 million cash right now. I'll take it. I'll take it with my eyes closed. I'll take the 90. So that's like a short sale, right? When you sell a property. So then you'll be the franchise won't be penalized. They'll get to write that off, but you'll be penalized with your taxes.
And he have to work that out with his own accounting group.
Yep. So that 170 he's supposed to get, you write that off, and whatever losses you have in other years, he could do that, and he could be in Milwaukee with
Giannis.
But I don't know if he's a small market player. Last time he was small market, he was with the Pelicans.
Chris Paul.
Yeah, he played for the New Orleans Hornets. That was the New Orleans Hornets.
Right.
So that was the last time
he was in the league.
That's right. That's when he was last time small market. He complained about that and he left.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you think he'll try to go run with LeBron? But I wouldn't want him with LeBron. No. He got Rondo already. He got somebody that's young enough that's
not going to happen.
Because Chris Paul a head case too, though.
Yeah.
I heard he's not a locker room fan. A lot of players don't like him.
Yeah. So, you know, and that contract is definitely something that has to be, you know, dealt with. Which makes it even more difficult to move him. So
got a hell of an agent. I say that.
Yeah. Well, he's getting his money. So if he want to just go and get paid, he can go get paid.
Wherever he's at,
they got to pay him.
Yep. So they might just keep him and let him just. But that's gonna turn it into a no man's land, OKC. Because when you think of OKC, there's no college football. There's college football there, but it's not close to the arena.
No, not downtown.
So
no,
there's
you have to go out to.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State University, OU, Oklahoma University.
But there's no professional football or baseball.
No professional football or baseball. No class. They got double A, triple A ball. But college football is really the king in that area.
So you don't have no professional sports, but that basketball team in that small city is about that's like Lansing, right?
Yeah, I would say more. It's more of a Milwaukee maybe.
Okay.
A little bit bigger, probably about – population 500,000.
But they rich over there, that per capita.
Oh yeah, it's some money in OKC. Let me tell you, it's some money in OKC. But it's just still a small market. And then, you know, it's so close to Texas that, you know, most of the Oklahoma fans of football are Dallas fans, of course.
Yep.
Dallas, Texas is not that far from OKC.
So that's why they couldn't put a pro team there then.
No, it wouldn't. I don't think it would work. So, you know, maybe one of those other knockoff leagues might come through and maybe want to put a team in there. But yeah, that is an interesting dynamic that they're trying to work through in the city of Oklahoma City to see if, you know, how the franchise can survive without a marquee player.
Wow. So
it's going to be interesting.
That's a new change on everything.
Yeah. So the NBA has still been the talk of the summer, and we'll continue because it won't be long because the summer league is over. OKC, no, it was. Who won the championship?
I think the Milwaukee Bucks. Memphis. The Memphis Grizzlies beat
Memphis
Milwaukee.
Grizzlies. Yeah. Yep. Grizzlies won it, yeah. So, yeah, summer league is over, and camp is not far from starting, so then there'll be more news, so. But, yeah, they dominated the news, man.
Yeah, I was going to say one more thing. I was like, I saw a video with Giannis, the MVP of the NBA, and he deserved it.
I truly believe he did.
He was lights out. You had to build a wall to stop him. So.
Right.
A 7-foot point guard, you know. And they did a video with him that, and I like him, man. I really do like him, Tony. I like him. He's tough, but he's humble. And he's appreciative because he comes from Nigeria, a poor country, and he had to escape with his family. And, you know, and his four brothers, man. It's four of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them was playing on the Dallas team, Dallas Mavericks. And the other three showed up to support him. But everybody's playing. And they got such mannerism and they're marketable that I think an NBA team would put all four of them on one team.
Wow.
I think they're trying.
Incredible.
They'll shoot for it.
Now that's what OKC need to be. You know, that's how you really brand your team. If you were to be able to collect all four of them, now you really got a face of a franchise again.
Like LeBron talking about playing with his son, Giannis has the potential to play with all his brothers.
Yeah,
if he wants to,
wouldn't that be amazing?
Because if they don't, as long as they don't get drafted and they play on D League teams, he could tell the owner like, "Look, I'm out, put my brothers on the team.
Yeah,
put them on a D League team and just move them up.
Move them up. And I mean, you know, I mean, his contract is coming up in Milwaukee.
That's what I would want.
Then that could be a bargaining chip.
Yep, so, I take less money. Like, say he's gonna be up for the super max.
Oh yeah, he won't get a max, and he don't have to take less money because I can leave.
Yep.
Okay. So it's either, you know, you pay me, bring my brothers, or I'm going on the free market, open market, and I'll go where I feel my skills are best needed.
Man, he got the caveat, Tony. So, that's caveat right there.
We will talk.
Like, you say, if your super max, his super max probably be 220, right?
Yeah.
And you tell him, look, I don't want to milk it like Michael Jordan. And Kemba Walker had a conversation. Michael Jordan said, I'm surprised he left. I had them. No, you didn't, Mike. Mike Jordan is the Dollar Tree of the NBA. And I'm not talking because he's African American. I'm talking because he's Michael Jordan. His mindset is his ego.
Oh,
how he is. You're not even better than me. Let's play one-on-one right now. That's how he think. I wasn't making that kind of money when I was playing. That's how he think.
Uh-huh.
So Mike like, you're not better than me. I can't give you that much money.
Nope.
So that's how he keeps his teams at a certain pace. So when his players get to close to Supermax, he brings somebody that's almost identical player, and he brought in the guy Rozier to come in for Kemba. So now it's restart mode. So he'd just be a decent, a middle of the road team in the East forever. That's what he accept. Yep. Long as he fills some seats up, he might well be a Detroit Lions owner.
That's the model. That's the portfolio of the Detroit Lions.
That's Michael Jordan.
We're a bottom line team.
Yep. And he's okay, but they don't make the playoffs. But Mike makes the playoffs sometimes. But he keeps it marginalizing his team.
And he gets TV money.
Yep.
I mean, owners, that's where they make their money is off TV, man.
Yep. So Kemba left, and he saw he was shocked. I'm like, come on, behind closed doors. I already know what you told him.
Mm-hmm.
I already know, Mike.
Yep. And they told him we're not going to give you that kind of money.
Exactly.
All right. So you need to find somebody that will pay you. And we're going to keep it moving.
Yes, that's why we're going to keep it moving. That's why we're going to keep it moving with the show. But, like, speaking of, we had a concept we wanted to share this week. It's called FIRE. And the concept is, but before we get that, we got Rebel Road coming up, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to bring
this weekend. This weekend.
You think it's going to be rained out?
There's forecast for rain, but it's not. It won't be the entire day, but there'll be like 2-3 hours where it will rain, and then the sun will come out, and it'll be like crazy humidity. And heat index warnings will be in effect. But yeah, they will deal with some rain. But, you know, bikers are tough people anyway, man.
Yep. And I'm biased.
Rain won't keep the bikers away.
And Rebel the Road is one we get in our city, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I'm not mentioning the other name. The other name is somewhere else. So Rebel Road is the only thing going on this weekend.
Right.
Audiences. So I'm for Rebel Road because it's Muskegon.
It's bringing dollars to the city.
Yep. Hotels went up $200. Somebody was complaining about that. I'm like, no, you got all the activities, and you come out the hotel and go back. You don't have to go back on the highway, pay that extra $200, and they got to make some money.
Supply and demand.
That's right. And they're making an investment in our city where their hotels are not packed all the time.
There's a limited number of hotel rooms in this city, okay? And then there's going to be an increase of 20 to 30% of the people that come into town. So you go to the premium. You raise the rates for those that are willing to pay it. They get a room. Supply and demand. Simple as that, man. First concept of economics. So if you don't like it, get a camper, a tent, drive to Grand Rapids or whatever. But it is what it is, man. Supply and demand. Yep. So limited supply of rooms, and there's a high demand for them. So you have to pay a premium.
There it is. So getting that paying a premium. Before I came in today, you know, we recorded on a Thursday today. I've been making posts about, like, Warren Buffett. I've been studying his 13 habits. And I'm on number two. Habit number two is frugality. And I look at the word frugality as not being cheap. It's just saying, like, always try to figure out how to save 10%. But then I further extended it and said, well, if I'm saving 10% for my retirement, what about life insurances? What about disability insurance? What about investments, right?
Yeah.
What about those other things? And getting to the point where really living off 50% of your income. So then, preparing for this show this week, run across this article called FIRE. And the acronym stands for Financial Independence, Retire Early. Mm-hmm. So the whole concept, Tony, is to take your current living expenses, get rid of all your debt, pay out all your bills, don't be buying no new cars and get a new house or anything like that, or don't try to upgrade your lifestyle as your income comes. Try to save 50% of your income and try to retire early and going off the, I know you understand this, going off the 4% rule when you retire. Mm-hmm. So like for 20 years, you can live off 4% of your income.
Yep.
Because if you got $1 million, you can take 40%. That's 40%. That's $40,000.
Yeah.
But that's 20 years. So you're like, okay, if you want to retire early and you 40, that only be, you're only going to be 60. So that means you have to get to the point where it's 2%. But we're in a gig economy. We just talked about when we started the show, Amazon. You can get pick up an Amazon job. You can Uber, Lyft drive to supplement your income with that $40,000 and still hustle. But then still do what you want to do if you're a book writer, you're blogging and doing other things like that.
Right. Right. You know, the key to retirement is, you know, having enough money. All right. We have a Social Security is set up ages where if you retire, you get X amount of dollars from your Social Security benefits. If you have not saved enough money or invested enough money to retire, it doesn't matter how old you are. Okay. Because if you can't sustain the lifestyle, basically, that you are accustomed to, then you have to continue to work. And if you're in a job that may be physically demanding, you know, it's going to be a limit to how long you can be in that job. If you're working in a factory, you know, in a foundry, where you're pushing motor blocks around or what have you, you know, you can't do that if you're 75 years old. I won't say you can't, but it's going to be very difficult.
It's going to be taxing work on your body.
Yes, it is, man. And there's just certain occupations where you just can't do that very long. Even doctors. You know, to practice as a doctor or a lawyer, your skills will diminish at a certain point in time. Okay? The mind, the body wears down. There's a lot of hours. So retirement basically is a concept that says whatever my occupation is, I can't do it forever.
Yeah. So here's,
I got to be prepared to quit at some point in time and be have enough money.
Here's an example of fire. What fire looks like. So it's this couple. This couple, husband age 29, wife name age 28, right? And they want to retire at the age 50. All right. It's about 22 years from now. You know, 20 years from now.
Okay.
So their concept is they say each year they increase their savings rate until they were salting away as much as 70% of their $250,000 income. So we talk about half of that is 125, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they together they make $250,000. So they're saying that they're putting away probably $125,000, $150,000 a year.
That's awesome.
Man, that's great, right?
Awesome.
So their point is they say, the whole concept of FIRE is for everybody on the average is saying, when I retire, I need $40,000 at least. So in the 20 years, they're saying that their mortgage should be paid off. So they're saying right now, it says they're bloggers, and in their blog, they post monthly expenses, which is so far they're averaging $2,500, well below their target budget.
Man, that's how you do it, man. That's how you do it.
So they set that budget, and they say, hold up, we're living well below the budet already. Mm-hmm. So they saving $150,000 a year. Do you hear that?
Do audience? The math, man.
Man. So when you think about somebody making $250,000 together, one of them can be a principal. One of them could probably be a counselor, a nurse, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody with a highly skilled advanced degree, a welder, a construction worker, somebody is making
in this country. They can, you know, those kind of occupations can garner that kind of money.
That's right, right? But these people are not living off of that.
Right. That's right? The key.
So they also, so then they're getting to the point where they say, we got to retire, but they have a side hustle selling healthy baked goods online, and they also blogging, right? And they're still 6 years away from reaching their financial independence number. And you talked about this number, 1 million, 1.2 million. That's their number when they reach 50. Okay. 1.2 million. So then they go into the 4% rule of $40,000 a year.
Which they can easily do.
Yep. But then with the hustles, like I say, the wave of the internet for the millennials, they can always have that side hustle while they're working their job, and they can put 50% of that income away.
That's right. And continue to enjoy the lifestyle they've grown accustomed to, as well as travel and see the world, man.
Yep. So the goal of a FIRE is to reach financial independence by socking away a 50% or more of your annual income over a period. They say 10 to 15 years. Some race to achieve the FI much earlier. FI is usually defined by achieving a savings equal to 25 times the annual living expenses, which allows you to follow the 4% withdrawal rule for the duration of the decades of the long retirement. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the actual age of somebody. The promise from the Bible say 77, right?
Okay.
So when they retire 50, 27 years, they got the 20, they got the 20 years and the 40,000, they living well below their budget because you're talking about 2,500, right. 12 months, that's $25,000. So then with their side hustles, they building more than that.
They building more than that. So the other side to this is they probably have something set up for their children, right?
That's right. Yep.
Grandchildren or whatever.
That's the other part I was talking about.
Some kind of a legacy so their kids can also obtain the kind of lifestyle that they have, or if not more.
That's better. Why they're socking away that $150,000.
Right.
Because they're going to reach that $1 million number faster with that.
Yeah.
You socking away $150,000 with the right mutual funds and insurances, you had that in 10 years.
10 years, man.
That doubles.
You had a million.
That's
yeah.
a 72 rule,
you,
right?
Yeah.
You had that 72. In 10 years with the insurance, with the term insurance and investment, you got that in 10.
You're in great shape, man, financially.
Man.
Financially.
So they say, I define retirement as never planning to go back to the 9-to-5 job. That's what the husband say.
Okay.
He said, I want to work again.
Yeah, I'll continue. Yeah, yep. to work.
But I want to do what I want to do. He said,
when I want to do it.
Yep. He said, I plan to work for another 30 years, but on my own terms, creating work that provides value to the world and aligns with our values. That's rewarding work.
It's the American dream.
That's right. Bob Proctor says this. He say, who goes to work to earn money? If you go to work to earn money, you find yourself frustrated.
Okay.
So you're going to make some money because you got a skill and you like doing what you do. Mm-hmm. So that brings you to your office. So it's a compensation, a law of compensation that you give more than you receive.
Okay.
Like you give me a policy, Tony, and you're like, oh, I made such and such off Chauncey. But then if something happened to me and I get this tenfold amount or fivefold, my family's taken care of, I leave this earth. And you're like, wow, I got over on Tony. He gave me more value than what I paid for.
Okay. And that's what it's about. That's why you have to look at it. You know, don't look at it as an expense. It's an investment in your future and your family's future.
That's amazing. So what I want to do is I want to go over the 9 rules to building a fire. We're talking about a real fire that's going to burn for 20 years or more after you retire, if you can retire early.
Okay.
So the first step to get on early retirement for fire, financial independence, if you want to retire early or not, you just want $1 million in 20 years. Determine why you want to achieve fire and envision what you will do once you get there. So have a definite written plan with a purpose now.
You got to have a goal. Got to have a goal. Got to know what you're trying to get to.
Yep. What is your budget right now? And what does that look like if you had to live 20 years off of that?
Okay.
Number 2, calculate your net worth, total assets minus liabilities to see where you stand. We're not talking about the car you got. We're not talking about depreciating assets. We're talking about from insurances, investments,
your
retirement,
your
pension, your home.
It's an asset.
So everything that got some value, some equity in it.
Yep. And on the other side, you do your liabilities, right?
How much, you going to pay them off?
How much you owe? Yep. How much you owe? How far are you in debt? And then you crunch those numbers, and at the end, it'll tell you what your net worth is.
Yep. I was always told it's better to fight your debts and then focus on your abundance. So you won't be saying, all right, I paid the debt, now I can save a little for myself. Say, like, knock it out so you could be so that what you was paying in the debt, you program yourself to discipline and obedience and say, well, my debt was $500 a month. Now I'm gonna take that same $500 and I'm gonna pay it like it's a debt, but it's actually an investment for myself.
That's right.
I've been told that strategy really works.
That's the way it you does. Look at it, man. Uh-huh. Yeah. You just don't go out now and pay more off one debt for a depreciating asset and then go out and acquire another one at the same rate or more. And expect to have any kind of financial independence at any point in your life.
You sound like a broker for real. I had a broker tell me, he said, this is a nice car, John. So he said, look, when we done, he say, when you sell that, pay that car off, don't sell it, don't trade it in, get an extended warranty on it. And he say, keep the car for as long as extended warranty is. And he say, drive it. And he say, take what you was paying in the car note and put it in your investments.
All right. Yep. That's it, man.
He say, what's good? A compliment is a stoplight or being able to go to the bank and make a withdrawal.
Give me the bank. You know, and at some point in life, you might be able to have enough money for that car that you really want. You go pay cash for it. You don't have to finance it.
All right. It says, third one, track every dollar spent so you know where your money goes. I'm going to tell everybody right now, that sounds hard. It's not. It's an app that I use right now. All my credit cards, my bank accounts are attached to his car, nerdwallet.com. They should give me a sponsorship for this radio show. I'm going to tell you, I just mentioned them. Nerdwallet.com. They send me an update, Tony, of my reward points, of my bills, of how much money I spend. Every time I look, I say, I spent that much money? Mm-hmm. I always try to say, all right, I'm $1,000 less, or I say this, or I pay this off. And it lets me know how many payments I got before I pay something off.
Okay.
So that's Nerd cool. Wallet with my credit score. So the audience, Nerd Wallet is good. Number four, we're going to stop here. We'll do the other four next week. Slash expenses to reach savings rate of 50% or more. You'll need to cut major expenses, including housing and transportation.
Okay. Well, you touched on the transportation cost. All right. In this community that we live in, you know, public transportation is somewhat limited. So most people have to have a car where they, you know, because they work in maybe Holland, Grand Haven, Grand Rapids, Nunica, whatever. But it doesn't mean that you have to spend $1,000 a month for that transportation to get to work. Okay, you can do $200, $300, and that includes insurance and your car note and your maintenance and your gas. So that's one of the things that you can look at as far as reducing your expenses for transportation.
Yeah, but what I've discovered is, like I say, some people get big income taxes. I'm like, why not just get a decent car one time and probably have a payment for 2 years, 24-month payment. Like, well, I got this car that's $10,000. It's not the one that everybody's talking about. Ooh.
That's okay.
It might be a Nissan or a Honda Accord or something. And you like, hold up, I can go to Grand Rapids, Lansing, Detroit in it. And be, I could be in A, B, and C in it. Yeah. And I still get 200 more thousand miles on it.
Get to work. Yeah. At a very small expense. That's the name of the game, man.
Yeah. And then you out of your debts. And then you looking like, hey, I don't need that car now.
Banking my money.
Yeah. Yep. You banking your money. So that was part of the concepts of FIRE. Something I want to do before I go into the scripture, I want us to leave our phone numbers for our audience members. And some people are mentioning that they want to seek help about either insurance, investments, or getting out of debt and setting a strategy plan up. So I want to let Tony, you can give your number first for the audience, Tony.
Okay. My office number is 231-903-0314. And if it's after hours, just leave a message. And we always have return calls by the next day.
All right. My number is 231-683-5342. You can check me out on Facebook, Credit and Debt Help. I'm mobile office. I come to you. We meet somewhere. And I'm the guy to help you see Tony and make it easier.
Okay.
So once you get those debts paid off, we talk about insurance, investments, and retirement. That's Tony. And it's good to have those three audience. I'm telling you, you don't want to have a bad situation happen to you and you don't have the money saved. And you got to come repo everything because you don't have liability or some type of insurance to cover your bills when you're in a situation. So I'm telling you, it's worth having a conversation. A conversation can change your whole lifestyle.
Conversation is free.
Yes, it is.
No cost, man.
Yeah. Here's the scripture today. It says Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God could be for us, who can be against us? So I'm putting God first in everything I do. Appreciate I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit and debt and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.